I wanted to start with a confession. Nancy and I have a guilty pleasure at Christmas time. It started 2 years ago. Hallmark Christmas movies. Have you seen these things? There's no guilt at all. It's not a guilty pleasure. We love these things. They are so bad, aren't they? Have you ever watched one? Look, I mean, this is the 2020 lineup. And I've been told not to watch the one where the woman is on the right or left and the man is on the right. Or, you know, they're only good if the man is wearing green and she's wearing red and she's on the right and he's on the left. That's the rubric. I mean, these things, their plots are terrible if they exist at all. They're all the same. They're completely identical, entirely predictable. And I think that's why we like them. For 90 glorious minutes, we can behold a cultural spectacle that requires not a single ounce of emotional investment whatsoever. We can point and laugh at the sticky, sweet ridiculousness of it all. You know, there's two things. These movies, like I said, they're cookie-cutter movies. They contain the same plot points at all times, and there's two things that are always present. One of them is a couple getting their Christmas wish, usually a happily ever after, usually together. And the other thing is that at some point in the movie, somebody always says, well, you know, the true meaning of Christmas is, and then they have a blank, and it's always filled in with some really phoned-in line from the actor about, family and love and friends and hope and generosity and kindness. And, you know, and they just go on. It's like the relational equivalent of business jargon. Synergy, you know, that kind of thing is totally meaningless. So what's interesting to me about this is actually going somewhere, I promise. What's interesting about this is that it seems that both the sacred world, the church world, and the secular world, they have some impulse to define the true meaning of Christmas. Every Christmas movie, every Christmas song talks about the true meaning of Christmas. And whether right they get it wrong isn't really the point. It's the impulse that's my point tonight. Christmas is a really strange and I think a uniquely dual holiday. It has sacred roots in the church and it has widely secular celebration. Most of the culture recognizes Christmas time. We shut down businesses. Our whole like economic engine peaks about this time of the year, right? With the gift giving and things like that. I mean, the date of Jesus' birth is debatable. And I think there's no real debate, at least it's not really worth debating, that there were pagan holidays around this time of year in years back. I mean, winter solstices have been happening ever since, at least in the northern hemisphere, ever since God created the planet and sent it whirling around the sun. So people have recognized this is the shortest days of the year. It's a time of lots of dark and lots of cold in the northern hemisphere again. So maybe we should do something to try to cheer ourselves up. Sure. And so maybe it is that the church said, hey, actually, the celebration of hope and rescue and light and stuff that we do have is Jesus. Let's put it in the end of December. I don't know how the holiday started. Nobody really does, and it kind of doesn't matter. But it's really important to understand that the holiday that we do enjoy in our culture, with its themes and it's actually even its deeper meanings, usually ascribed to the season, even by Hallmark movies, peace, justice, kindness, gift-giving, these things have at their root, undeniably have at their root, the Christian tradition. This is not simply a made-up holiday, a manufactured Christmas Christian tradition, but rather the roots of this thing are actually in God's very plan for all of his people, for the rescue of his people. And that's undeniable, and everyone this time of year recognizes those themes. Without God's plan to rescue his people, we would not have the same sense of justice, the same drive for peace, the same impulse to kindness and gift-giving. It would be a dog-eat-dog world. That is the other option. We're all looking for something. Every single one of us. Looking for something. Just like the sappy characters in the Hallmark Christmas movies, we have maybe a Christmas wish that we're hoping for. Maybe this year, I'd be curious, what is the thing you can't live without? What's your Christmas wish this year? What's the thing that you want more than anything else in the entire universe? The thing you're hoping will come true. Whatever that thing is to you, for you today, whatever that is, I'm going to declare to you tonight that the Most High God of the universe offers you something better than whatever that wish is. An ancient prophet looking 700 years into the future to the birth of Christ, he announced this gift from the Most High God to his people in Isaiah. It's chapter 9. If you've been around the church any length of time, this is a familiar passage, and it's our verse for tonight. It's our theme for tonight. And it says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." And then a few verses later, it says who that light is, why a light is shining. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, it will be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I'm really intrigued with the way that starts out. There's a resonance in our soul, I think. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Does that describe you? A person who is walking in darkness, dwelling in a land of deep darkness, fear, doubt, anxiety, grief. The declaration of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, is that there is a light for you in that darkness. The light we need, the light you're actually looking for, only comes from outside this world. That's what the prophet is saying. A light has shone into this world of darkness from the outside, from Christ. There is no other fix for the darkness in your life. The darkness we face here on this earth. No new year, 2021, doesn't matter. Pandemics don't care what the calendar says. No vaccine, no legislation, no political regime, no medical treatment, no amount of relief money is going to bring you the hope you're actually looking for. The joy you're actually longing for. Even if you found relief temporarily from the thing that's causing you trouble right now, from the thing that is causing you to say, "I am dwelling in a land of deep darkness," even if you found relief from that thing, something else is going to come later. There's always going to be something else. If COVID-19 gets solved this year, there might be COVID-21. We don't know. No thing on this earth is going to bring you lasting peace. Only Jesus can do that. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's the message of Christmas. Peace on earth to people with whom God is pleased. The angel's announcement. The thing you're actually looking for, the thing you're actually longing for, the thing you actually need, like those trees, they had an idea about what their good life, what their best life would be, the thing that they wanted more than anything else. God, in that story I love so much, gave them the thing they actually wanted, the thing that they were really longing for, the question behind the question, the need behind the need. So on this strange dual holiday, I think the secular world thinks it has a, even the secular world, I think, has a, thinks it knows the basic meaning of the Christmas message. Even if they were to be more specific than peace and justice and all of that, they know. I mean, people know it's in the word Christmas. That's why they want to say holidays instead of Christmas. That's fine, whatever. There's lots of holidays this time of year. That's cool. I have no problem with that. But in the secular world, I think they have this mythology in mind about a story about a baby. The story's about as true as the one about the trees we read earlier. It's about this baby who was born to bring, generally speaking, peace and goodwill toward one another. And so we should try to emulate him by being nice to each other. That's kind of the mythology behind Christmas. But the reality of Christmas, the reality, the real story, the true story behind Christmas is so much bigger, isn't it? It's so much bigger than that. Jesus, he came not just to show us how to be nice to each other. He came to break the chains of all kinds of oppression, to free us from slavery to sin and free us from our fate of ultimate despair in hell. Hell's the right punishment for our rebellion against our Creator God. And he came, Jesus came into the world. The message of Christmas is that Jesus came into the world to change our hearts, to change our minds, and yeah, to show us the way to live in peace and justice and gift-giving and all of those things, the secondary real messages of Christmas. But my point is right now that this is not a myth. This is not a philosophy. This is not a nice way of living your life among other nice ways of living your life. This is a historic announcement. That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is a reminder that a thing happened 2,000 years ago in a specific place. One of the most popular readings this time of year in the church is Luke chapter 2, the account of Jesus' birth. It's so familiar to us, but the interesting thing about Luke is that it pinpoints the exact date, the exact location. It actually brings up a verifiable political regime, so you can go look it up in other history books. This thing really happened. This is not a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. This is not once upon a time. Let's read. This is not once upon a time. This is not a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Let's read and briefly review the historic record for a minute. Luke chapter 2 starts this way. In those days, which days? A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And Luke, in his writing throughout the book, it's almost like he's saying, go look it up. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, as you do baby burritos. You ever done that? It's kind of fun. And you hold him, swaddling cloths. And you laid him in a manger because there was no place in the inn. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in a baby burrito and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that's happened, to which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby wrapped in a baby burrito, lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. The angel said, "We'd find him here." And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary treasured all these things up, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. That's the Christmas story. And you tonight have now heard, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 1,000th time, maybe for the 5,000th time, that same announcement of good news, of great joy for all the people. That there is a Savior, a rescuer, Jesus. So let's respond just like the shepherds did and go to him in faith. He's the relief you're looking for. He's the rescue you need. And he's the joy you're trying to find in this life.